It's 25 miles long, and it stretches from Eagle to Lucky Peak. The Boise Greenbelt is the area's premier biking and walking path. But how did dozens of separate chunks of Riverside Pathway eventually end up as one Greenbelt? Using city documents, a lot of research, and interviews with Greenbelt pioneers, author David Proctor tells the story in his new book, Pathway of Dreams, Building the Boise Greenbelt. Proctor says it took decades of effort, planning, and vision from a core group of dedicated individuals to slowly piece the Greenbelt together. That, even though up until the 1960s, the Boise River was used as a garbage dump. Our Samantha Wright asked Proctor on how the construction of Lucky Peak Dam, which started in 1949, paved the way for what we now know as the Boise River Greenbelt.
Well, Lucky Peak was the third dam on the river. You know, Anderson Ranch, Arrow Rock were built prior to that. And what Lucky Peak did was control the river. And it allowed development along the river because the floods didn't happen the way they had happened in the past. Boise had been through a couple of pretty serious floods in its early days, and the dams controlled that. And once you had the river controlled, you had the banks controlled. And once the banks were controlled, then development could happen along there. And it also spurred the cleanup of the river because prior to that, Boise had treated the river as a sewer. It had dumped everything. There were slaughterhouses and garbage dumps and, you know, oil companies and sewage lines all the way up and down the river to the point that people couldn't go anywhere near it. And then once Lucky Peak was in and once the Lander Street treatment plant was in, the river gradually began to heal. City officials cracked down on dumping in the river, and we get closer at that point to the river we know today.
The idea of a greenbelt was first brought up in the early 60s, I think it says in the book. Describe how that started. Who's responsible for getting the greenbelt going?
There was momentum built, and it started in the late 50s, actually, with the Capital City Kiwanis Club. And there were members there who were looking for service projects. Several of them saw the river and had the first idea of what it could become. Volunteers began to coalesce around this idea. They began to push for it. That's how it happened. It was a group of people who wanted it to happen. It wasn't the city, wasn't the state. It was a group of volunteers.
You write that the Greenbelt got kind of a declaration of independence in 1966. What was that, and how did that work?
That was the first setback ordinance that Boise had ever passed. It allowed the city to develop that path along the river. It said that you cannot build within 50 feet of the river. That first stroke allowed the city to establish a right-of-way along the river and begin to develop the greenbelt. Now, the first stretch wasn't dedicated until 1975, but that ordinance allowed that development to happen.
So I think there's this misconception out there for folks who go and use the greenbelt today, and they get on the path and they can go anywhere along this long stretch, that it just sort of appeared out of nowhere. But this was a long, hard slog for the folks who had this vision. How long did it take to get to from where it started to where we are today?
Well, you think about that the first interest in something like a greenbelt happened in 58 or 59. It first appeared in the comprehensive plan that was adopted in 1962, and here we are today. You know, I just give an enormous amount of credit to everyone who's been involved. And this was like a relay race, because there were the original group of pioneers who started this. There were maybe a dozen people who were the primary movers to get the ball rolling. But they handed it off as time went by to more and more people. The Greenbelt Committee was formed. It became part of the city government. They were able to bring in new members, new energy, new ideas. And they just kept going and going and going. We can never repay what we got from them. I mean, it's just beyond measure. And there's an argument to be made, and I make the argument that the Greenbelt was an important part of revitalizing Boise in the 1970s. Downtown Boise was a mess. The city was a mess. Part of the reason that changed was because of the Greenbelt, and people began to see the opportunities that downtown Boise offered.
So why did you write the book? What do you want people to take away from this book?
I want to share this history with people. I want people in Boise to understand that this beautiful piece of our city didn't just appear, and it wasn't just gifted to us, and it wasn't put there by some kind of government fiat. It was there because people saw the possibilities, and they wanted it to happen. That's what created the Greenbelt. It's a great example for all of us, you know, that if we want to improve our city, if we want things to happen, we want it badly enough and we work hard enough, we can make things happen.
And that is David Proctor talking with our Samantha Wright. He's the author of Pathway of Dreams, Building the Boise Greenbelt. And his book is out now on Amazon. It's also available at Boise's Rediscovered Books.